Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovcabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I would like to wish my co-host a very happy birthday.
Thank you for, when was it? Last week?
Mid-podcast, off week.
Yes, yeah it was, wasn't it? Yeah, last Thursday. So thank you very much. It was a Thursday, so very little happened, but that's fine.
Have you got your bus pass yet?
Yes.
Okay.
We celebrated with watching football, and it was very well done, so that was nice. We didn't go to Prague, that was also a cause for celebration.
Yes. We had close associates in the crowd.
We did, yeah. So we're going to look back at those two games.
One of them briefly.
Yeah, we've got a quiz, we've got Hot or Not, we've got Beer of the Podcast, we've got two previews, we've got a word from our sponsor, all the regular bits and pieces for your delectation this evening. So let's get on with it. Thank you. Right then, Slavia Prague.
That's one way of saying the team.
It certainly is. Did you watch the highlights of this?
Of course I didn't.
Oh, okay, good. Ben, Liam and Lee headed up to Prague.
Yes.
Ben, because he wanted to see like an actual proper ground.
I thought you were going to say team.
No.
For a minute.
Well, I mean, you know, they're a pretty good team. You know, chasing the league again. Liam, I think just to tick another one off his list. And Lee, because he was bored. Mate. Oh, no, he was staying with a mate overnight in Prague. Uh-huh. That's why he went. Joined them on that. So, yeah.
I have a first question
about
this game. Why was our entire away support asked to wear black? Because I don't think anyone died.
No, just... Oh, maybe. František Cipro.
Oh, of course.
Former Sprovka legendary manager and Slavia manager, of course.
Oh, of course. That's why there was the minute silence.
Yes. So
I watched
maybe
the highlights.
Maybe something to do with that. Uh-huh. I don't know, but there was a thing on social media, wasn't there, before everyone wear black. And they did. In that tiny, weird V-shaped away section.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as I said, Ben, Liam and Lee headed up with the Gentleman Ultras banner. They got that up, so thank you very much for that. And they saw a 2-0 defeat.
Yes.
Not the absolute hammering we expected, and it looked for all parts, and from what Ben has told me, that it was actually a decent game.
Yeah, it reminds me very much of Ebbe Skodal's Aberdeen in
Does
2000
it now?
Where I can't remember the exact quote, but he was very chuffed at losing 3-0 to Celtic at Parkhead after we had lost 5-0 and 6-0 to them previously in the campaign.
Right.
So there were green shoots of recovery.
Right.
Considering that we got scudded half as much as we did last time, less than we did last time.
Well, if that's not a green shoot, I don't know what is.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And that's with, quite a few players out.
Yeah, it was an unusual starting lineup. It saw...
whoever was left.
Yeah, Jan Havertz returned in central defence with Schural. Endel moved up to defensive midfield alongside Jitka Tetzel, a trick that would be repeated against Banik.
Yes.
As we had a similar starting lineup, but with some differences that we'll look at later. Within the first 10 minutes, Ibrahim Traore, Djordjevic and Petr Ševčík all have efforts on target, before a mistake from David Jurásek presents Ondřej Pachlopnik with a chance that he finishes well, but he's miles offside.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a slightly lackadaisical attempt to play the ball. We're on it really quickly, but yeah, it goes through to Pachlop, who's 5 yards offside. It's a neat finish, to be fair. Like, he does finish it quite well, but I think he already knows he's offside. But
yeah.
But yeah, that happened. And then Slavia continued to pepper the Brno goal with only a Resnicek volley from a Ševčík free kick being any kind of chance for us. But we do go in at halftime 0-0.
Yeah.
Not utterly disgraceful. Basically keep them to sort of, you know, sort of ranged chances.
Well, this is what I've been hearing a lot, particularly in the first half about this, was actually how assured, composed and good Jan Hlavica was coming in. And he's becoming, like, a lot of people on the internet, or the places that I look on the internet, are starting to rate Hlavica really highly. including, you know, our friends at the Czech footy account, yeah, for example.
Just as a sort of out and out stopper.
Yes.
I think, isn't he? You know, just a heading machine.
We don't have creative centre backs anyway, no. So you know we what he is doing is possibly, I mean, and I love to use this term, staking a claim to start. So of course we get a centre back on loan a week later. More on that to come.
Yeah. So as I said, we go in 0-0 at half time on 58 minutes, and Everton.
It's always Everton. Everton. When you least expect it, Everton. Yeah, there.
Exactly. Sean Dyche's mate pops up with a free kick. It gets through a packed box, and Berkovic is going to be disappointed to only be able to sort of scoop it into the net, because he had a good first half. He made four or five decent stops. Yeah. And that really is, I mean, yeah, it's a poor bit of goalkeeping, really, after a decent first half. Shevchuk brings a top save out of Ondra Kolar, and Berkovec stops Petr Hronek at point-blank range. But it ends up 2-0. Mick van Buren with a curling effort from just outside the D.
It's a revitalised Mick van Buren as well. He's come back and he's really sort of set the heather alight, so to speak.
After the disappointment of losing that presidential runoff to James K. Polk, he's come back firing on all cylinders as Van Buren.
19th century US president jokes.
Don't tell me I'm not down with the kids.
Yes. I had something to say after that, but that's totally put me completely off track. I've got that James K. Polk song in my head now. The They Might Be Giants song. And we are going to see them, listener, not that you care.
We do. Yes,
this is me, my brain pressing desperately to get back on track. I was going to say, Slavia look halfway competent now.
Yeah, they do.
And then realise that they dropped points to Teplice at the weekend. So maybe he's aye, maybe he's no. It's getting tight up there.
Maybe sometimes good, maybe sometimes shit. Yeah.
It's interesting up there, because also, you know, who didn't capitalise on the slip up by Slavia at the weekend? Viktoria Pilsen.
Yeah.
So it could actually be going.
Whereas Sparta absolutely did by thumping Bohemka 6-2, was it, I think?
Yes, that was really good.
Hey, we might be hitting Bohemka bang in terrible form.
More on that later as well, because I don't think the form's not that terrible, actually.
Is it not? Okay, I've been sort of keeping one eye out, but clearly only half an eye.
But it's one of these things, right? Just as a sort of a general point, it's there are certain teams in this league that will just scud other teams, right? Regardless of how, you know, sort of maybe competent they are on the outside. So it very much in the same way as, you know, sort of Celtic go and they thump us, or they thump County, or they thump someone else like that. I don't know if it takes away from the general quality of the league. I think you just have to be convinced that sometimes, you're just going to get thrashed by someone.
Yeah.
What's good is that Zbrojovka, who have a record away from home, especially in Prague, of being just terrible, are actually, for parts of a game against a very, very good team, who has a player which is, you know, in Olienka, who is worth more than our entire squad put together, we sort of kept them to quite a respectable result. We looked quite good in places, some might say, in the first half.
Yep, some might say. Just as sunshine follows thunder, we're going to leave this section, and we're going to go into the hot or not section of the programme for your delectation next. It's time for hot or not now. Oh, it's the little bit where we say what's hot or not now, whether it's good or shit.
He's making this face to me, listener, while he's doing it. I believe that is Watching the Detectives by Elvis Costello.
Spot on.
Okay. And The Attractions.
And The Attractions, yes.
Talking about attractions, we've got some good and some not so good in your regular feature, Hot or Not.
Good. Nice introduction.
So I'm incredibly tired today, listener, and I'm trying to drink this can to sort of like get myself up a bit, but it's going a bit weird.
I've got a hot for you.
Good.
Coming straight out of Dortmund, it's the Bundesliga title race.
Yes, okay, please elaborate on what is looking like a fun title race.
It really is. We've got a three-way tie at the top. It's Bayern, Dortmund and Union Berlin.
Yes.
And 6 points separating those three from Eintracht Frankfurt in sixth, with Freiburg and fizzy drink sport Leipzig sitting fourth and fifth. Bayern just not managing to polish teams off this year at all. They've only lost two, but they've drawn seven, which is really unlike them. Normally they're far more ruthless than that. However, their goal difference of plus 40 is basically an extra point over Dortmund's 17 and Union's 11.
Yeah.
But yeah, that actual...
Union Berlin still doing stuff at the top of the table.
Yeah, and still in Europe, still in the... Europa League playing Ajax this
Must be infuriating if you're an old school supporter as well.
Yeah, all the absolute Johnny come latelys turning up, all the bloody hipsters.
Yeah, so this is it.
Yeah, get yourself down Tennis Borussia Berlin, that's what I say.
Because it's something, because I went to see Union Berlin, and I went to see Union Berlin. I was thinking about this the other day because I've actually booked myself gig tickets to go see a band in June in Berlin. So I'm going to meet up with some people I know there. But the last time I was
good, because you're going to Berlin, I'm going to Copenhagen, both to see gigs. That's good, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? You know, more than just a football podcast, listener.
Exactly, yeah.
But I was thinking, because I went to see Union Berlin in 2008, which is the last time I was in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And that was when they were sort of lower mid-table Zweite Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. I think they were possibly even the third division. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. So like they were playing Rot-Weiss Essen, if I remember correctly. Mm. And it was very different because it was in the pre-refurbished stadium as well, which was sort of falling apart, and you had your bread and sausage, and there was people outside with them. With the best thing in German football, in my opinion, which is the jacket.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the large, normally denim jacket with hundreds of patches sewn on it.
Just like heavy metal fans.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. My favourite, Schalke superfans. Yeah, ausgezeichnet. Wir sind die Superfans. Schalke not super this year. Absolutely stinking the place out down the bottom there.
Rarely super.
Exactly.
A very Zbrojovka last few seasons, haven't they?
Good fans, actually, Schalke. Just a horrible, horrible football team.
It's not easy, I think, being a Schalke fan. And as far as I know as well, there's not so much around Gelsenkirchen either. Like,
there's nothing to do. No. Go to Dortmund, I suppose.
They won't like that.
Absolutely booed out of the place, yeah. Anyway, that was my hot. What have you got for us?
Okay, I will start with... I'll start with a hot as well, which is something I feel is underappreciated in football fan culture, which is the upside-down opponent's badge. I was thinking about this today because there's plans, as Borovatia are coming through to Prague, as they will, for the Bohemians game. And one of my favourite things there... in the sort of the flyer sort of thing, which says, you know, come to this time of the stadium, there is the Bohemians, there is a Bohemians badge, which is upside down and with a big
red line through it.
Yeah. And I've seen this quite a lot. Slovan love to do this for Spartak Trnava, for example. And fans generally love to do this with their opponents' badges. And also some of the more rowdy ones that steal other people's banners and they present them upside down as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out on a limb and say nobody is upset and offended by the club's crest being upside down.
No, absolutely not.
But I love that sort of little sort of gamesmanship. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is one of the daftest like bits of one-upmanship, isn't it? Because as you say, like nobody cares really. Yeah. But it's really pissy it's just funnier for it.
But yeah, I also feel though at the same time. There is somebody that cares somewhere.
some tiny angry man.
Oh, we showed them.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Great. Dear me. Love it.
Right. My knot is the Tough Sheet Community Stadium.
Yes. this is Bolton's new stadium?
Yes. Bolton's renamed ground from next season. They are having sponsorship, nearly messed it up there, from Tough Sheet, which are some kind of like, they're a company that makes kind of like modular construction things, I think. So,
but they ride scooters and have bowl haircuts.
Good. But it's not just the Tough Sheet Community Stadium. That's not necessarily my nod.
We've all been there.
It is people or clubs being so desperate for investment that they will take literally any money that comes at them. I mean, it has been that way since, you know, the year dot. But this this has really particularly brought it home.
Can I just interject there by, I think I mentioned this before on an Older's Borough cast, that New Douglas Park, Hamilton Accies ground, was briefly called the Hope CBD Stadium. It was just a stadium sponsored by fucking Emboyle.
This comes after Southend, of course. Last season, I think it was, initially named their West Stand after Leon C-based estate agents Gilbert and Rose. Therefore making it the Gilbert and Rose West Stand, which is, didn't really think that through.
The one that I always liked about Southend was they had the high-tech stand, which was the one that had the two, was like one on top of each other. And it was for years, I think it probably still is, sponsored by high-tech. And I can't think of anyone that's had any high-tech sportswear since I was in about primary three.
You clearly haven't been to Southend in a long time, I think. Maybe
clearly haven't been to Southend ever.
So that was my not. And apropos of that, later I've got a quiz time for you on stadium identities.
Oh, very good.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what's your not for this episode?
I'm going to do two very quick knots. Actually, right. I had a bigger knot, but the way that this that we're structured this this episode, I'm actually going to incorporate it into the Bannockburn Strava recap. So my
two very quick knots, like a racing yachtsman.
Yeah. So mine is my first knot is Loris Karius, who is going to be hated once again for being the only available goalkeeper at Newcastle.
Yeah.
That won't end well. And my other knot is my cat Frida.
Okay.
So
okay.
So my cat Frida. Well, on the plus side, she's bagged her first mouse.
Is that the absolute football cliches where I was thinking she's bagged her first mouse. She just needed wanting to go off her ass, you know. But now she's bagged her first one. She's gonna be dragging them in.
Brought it in. Dropped it. Looked very pleased with herself.
But she's gonna be dragging them in on a regular basis now.
But also she started dragging in things which I don't know if she's like discovered Walt.
Right.
So the other week she brought in a sausage. Like, right. It's an actual sausage and you're eating it. And then yesterday she brought in an entirely cooked chicken leg. And I don't know if somebody is giving her this or if she's finding it. But who would give a cat an entirely cooked chicken leg, first of all?
I mean, I wouldn't know what to do if a cat came to my house. I'd probably just.
It's not usually a cat, it's a tiger that comes to tea.
Give me.
Kids book references, baby. But yes, I don't know what, but she's dragging some of the most peculiar stuff.
Does that have anything to do with football?
Or no, not
was
at
that
all.
Is that just your utter bemusement that has brought that about?
Just why is a cat bringing in cooked chicken legs?
Fair enough.
Why is she not bringing in enough to share? No, I just thought this is more than just football. This is a football and lifestyle podcast, David.
Okay,
that's what I'm branding this as.
All right, fair enough. Okay,
you were talking about gigs.
Yeah, that was important. Sorry. Right.
Before this rapidly goes off the rails.
Yeah. Let's talk about the game, the home game, last Saturday against Bannock Ostrava. It was the Moravian Derby, North versus South, at 3 o'clock on Saturday. God's time for watching football.
Yes, perfect kickoff time.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Bannock brought
lots of fans.
Hodney LED.
They sold out the away section.
They did very early on, and they got them in safely, sensibly, and early.
Yes.
In a packed away section.
Yeah.
Did we enjoy their choreo and their general?
Yes, ish.
Ish.
So what they had is they had. They had like a tifo later on with one of the old badges, which genuinely looked badass. They also every one of them had like this custom printed scarf.
Yes, like a double sided scarf.
Yeah.
Or a reversible scarf, I should say. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, we were discussing this, I think, during the match. My opinion was it was pretty tin pot for a game that was 9th versus 11th.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't
bother ourselves to do anything.
Yeah. Sort of home end wise, there wasn't any tifo, there wasn't any anything really.
Yeah,
a couple of flashbangs and a couple of flares, and that was about it, really.
The shouts of Yebat Bannock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but they went in hard, which was funny when we beat them.
This Can I just say the personal highlight of their whole Tifo and Choreo thing was that about 10 minutes into the match, they brought they replaced their front banner for no real reason and just replaced it with one that just said Cosa Nostra.
Yeah.
Apparently, there were other hools there from Katowice amongst them.
Yes, that was put in the police preview of Risky Football Match.
Risky Football Match. This is... If you know what we're on about, there was the Brno news media put out a tweet that called this Risky Football Match. If you do see that post, then congratulations, you've also found my personal Facebook, because I took umbrage with it. Because, like, it was 6,500 people, I think, there.
Yeah.
Full away support. Very little incident, actually, yeah, afterwards. Loads and loads of police. Why don't you focus on it being a very, you know, possibly entertaining and exciting game,
yeah,
rather than this? And actually what happened, it was an entertaining and exciting game.
It certainly was, with, as you say, like, excellent police presence, sensibly organised, no bother at all. It was grand. Anyway, what happened? Starts for Pepe Kozeluch and Mohamed Tijani happened.
We'll talk about him, won't we?
Replacing Matěj Hrabina and Honza Hlavica, respectively, and Hladík coming in on the left, yeah, in place of Pachlopník, who started the Slavia game and still doesn't look quite up to full fitness after, yeah, 18 months out, and that's fair. On 9 minutes, a neat heads-up ball square across the box from Ali leaves Rzeszniczek with the simplest of tap-ins.
Yes.
For 1-0. It's Ali getting his head up, popping the little ball in the box there. The little butcher cannot miss.
Yeah.
He goes haring after Ali. There are some fabulous photos of him, yeah, like hoiking him up. Ali looking scared for his life. Yeah. Like, put me down. It was very funny.
It was like he was getting bullied at school.
It really was. So
he was,
yeah,
going to take his lunch money.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. Like, wasn't it really, like, it was really free flowing. It was very much like a move that we did, oh, about 3 weeks ago when we opened the scoring against Victoria Pilsen, and everything was looking really rosy for, yeah, the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. In fact, on 20 minutes, it looks like he scored again, but he's rightly flagged offside. Yeah, we ride our luck for a little bit. David Buchter flashes a chance wide, but presentable efforts from Hladík and Rzeszniczek again, who looked well up for it all afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was really in the mood. But it meant that we went in 1-0 up at half-time. Start of the second half, Filip Kaloch has two long-range efforts, one clawed away by Berkovets, the second punched high over the bar. This is Berkovets picking up, apart from that free kick, basically picking up where he left off against, yeah, Slavia, stopping any long-range efforts, which we kind of reduced Banik to. And down the other end, after good work down the left, Hladík draws a save out of Laštůvka that he can only palm to Kuba Johnny on the spot, Rzeszniczek, yeah, who again sort of can't miss, really. Yeah. Makes it 2-0. There's a bit of VAR check action, but not to any meaningful extent. We're two goals to the good.
A lengthy extent, though.
Yes.
Very long pause.
Yeah. Like your cat.
She's only small. Big chicken leg, though. There's a big chicken leg. I took a photo of it. I'll show you later.
All right. Look forward to that, listener.
We'll put it up on Twitter, listener.
Rzeszniczek sends Ali clear with a glorious through ball, and young Musa just takes a touch too many.
Yeah, he does.
And his effort is sort of half smothered by Laštůvka and a recovering defender, sort of combined to
with all sixes and sevens
to
at that
stop
point,
it.
Wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And then there are two instances, quite pleasingly, of Mohamed Tijani, Nigeria Banik, versus Mohamed Tijani, Benin's Royovka, in yes, a mighty battle for the ages, yeah, down at their end. Luckily, our on loan Beninese centre half comes out on top on both occasions.
Yes.
A word for Big Mo Tijani. What a debut that was, by the way.
Oh, boys, was it you that basically noticed that he didn't really break into a sweat the whole game?
No, he was jogging around. He was so far ahead of the play. His anticipation was so good that, yeah, he basically didn't get out of a jog all day. And my absolute favourite moment, for an attacking corner in the second half, he went up, basically picked up Josef Schurau and, yeah, put him where he wanted him to be. Yeah. It's like, this is leadership. That's what he just right, you can stand there, do a thing. It was, yeah, it was brilliant.
This is a Pilsen thing, I think, because you'll remember the last time that we had a Pilsen defender on loan, of course, who then obviously went on to then win a title and become pretty much indispensable, Pernica.
Yeah.
Who the first game, he was just like shouting at everyone. He was just shouting yeah. and organising the defence. And Tijani is exactly the same.
Yeah.
I believe at the time I described him as a Petr Pavlik-style figure because he was just getting the head in onto stuff. I realised that that's a little bit unfair
slightly
on him
disingenuous.
Because he could also
yeah.
play it out. So, yeah. But he looked wonderful. And finally, we have a big built guy in defence. Finally.
Yeah.
You know, we might just be able to, you know, actually start, you know, putting pressure on attacking players and so on like that in those positions.
Yeah.
Great debut.
Big lad who's not afraid of just giving an absolute bollocking to people who aren't doing that. It was glorious to see. It really was. Like.
And Pilsen know this, by the way. This is why in every single reporting of it, usually just have, you know, it's going to the end of the season on loan or whatever. Every single thing that I saw of this reporting this was
6 months with no option
no
to buy.
No option. Don't yeah. go, yeah. It's not for sale. You're not taking him. We couldn't afford him anyway, but still, he looks great.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, this is a man who's won titles and has played like 10 or 12 Champions League games. You know, he's not a mug.
Well, actually, not long ago, he was playing for Jihlava. We played against him in the Cup a couple of seasons ago.
He's one of those discoveries that, like, there are some absolute diamonds in the rough in the second league,
as we've already
mentioned. You know, the people like, you know, Everton, Schrantz,
yeah,
you know, people like this, Tijani.
I forget his name. Like the big celebrity one was the lad that that Slavia got from Tabor.
Yeah,
I forget his name now. Actually,
he is and he's drowning on loan at Stoke City right now. I think it's just shame, but. Yeah, anyway, let's wrap this up on 80. A neat first-time finish from Mathieu Chine makes it 2-1. It's a nice finish, actually.
It is a nice finish, and as much as we are sort of making fun of Banik Ostrava, he's just beaten cancer, I believe, or getting over it.
Yeah,
so.
It was his first goal back, which was nice to see. But that meant it was squeaky bum time a little bit, as Berkovets just absolutely earns his paycheck, stopping an effort from Srdjan Plavšić and saving the best stop of the game until the 96th minute, palming that point-blank Tijani header over the bar. An absolute match-winning save, if ever there was one. So all in all, what a good day that was.
Yeah.
Really entertaining, good win, good end-to-end stuff, brilliant debut for Tijani, good first start for Kozeluch.
Yeah.
And yeah. Everyone looked jolly good.
Yeah. I also got to crack out the Lostrava logo Photoshop as well, so that made it particularly pleasing. 6 out of 6 points-wise against Banik. You've got to love that, frankly.
Yeah, you do. That's right. We've done the double over them. Brilliant.
But actually, I promised him that I'd say this as well. Kev Lamb said that it's the best that he's seen Zborovka play in quite some time.
That's not unfair. That sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, we were decent.
Yeah.
We were decent. So, that sets us up nicely for Bohemka away this Saturday. And then a sort of bottom half clash at home to Zlín, both of which we're going to talk about later. After, first of all, a word from our sponsor.
Teď pomohou startovací vodiče T350. Nastartují studený motor pomocí akumulátoru jiného vozidla. K správné orientaci zapojení slouží barevné odlišení kabelů. Také kovové skřipce jsou označeny symboly plus a minus.
Pomocné startovací vodiče T350 vyrábí výrobní družstvo Mechanika Praha. Prodávají se za 120 korun.
All right, it's time for a stadium identity quiz. As you recall, the Tough Sheet Community Stadium.
Yes.
Bolton's new name for their ground from next season onwards. So I've got five questions with a couple of bonus points available relating to their answers. Some quite easy, some tricky, some complete guesses.
Okay.
Right, question one. York City's ground was known as the Kit Kat Crescent between 2005 yes. and 2010. What was its original proper historic name?
Bootham Crescent.
Good, yes. One of the more famous ones.
One on the board. That's yep. all I might get.
Which of these is not a current MLS stadium?
I always fuck this one.
Right. You got four options.
Yeah.
Providence Park, that's Allianz Field, the Comcast Coliseum, or PayPal Park?
Can it be all of them? The first one was Providence Park,
yeah.
which I believe the Portland Timbers or the Seattle, whatever they are, Sounders. One of them, I think, plays there.
Okay.
One of them is Allianz Arena.
Allianz Field.
Allianz Field. I feel that that's like a New York one or something. Third one?
Comcast Coliseum.
Comcast Coliseum. And the fourth is?
PayPal Park.
PayPal Park. This is the problem. This is the problem. Because Comcast, like, Comcast is a thing.
Yes.
And this is part of me just knowing you as well. Because I just think that, would you put Comcast as a sponsor? Would you think? I'll say PayPal Park.
You're wrong. It's Comcast Coliseum.
Ah!
As soon as I saw PayPal Park, I was like, right, I have to find another one equally as ridiculous. So I made up the Comcast Coliseum.
What, I mean, more. I had a full day at work today, so fair play to you. The first, is the Timbers?
Providence Park is the Timbers, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then Allianz Field feels like New York.
No, it's like Minnesota or something. It's like it's one of these new build jobs. So, yeah. All right, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Stadion was briefly the name of the Liebenauer Stadion, the home of which football team?
That is, what are they called? What's the name of that city? It's not Linz, it's not Salzburg, it's the other one. Sturm Graz.
Sturm Graz, very good. Due to its famous sponsorship deal, you'll get this straight away, but there's a bonus point in it for you.
Okay. Uh-oh.
The home of which Scottish team has occasionally been referred to as the Spaghetti Hat?
that's Livingston, and that is the Tony Macaroni Arena.
Good.
Yeah.
Bonus point, what was its name before being sponsored by Tony Macaroni?
Vale.
Armonvale, the poetically named Armonvale. Yeah.
You can also call it the Pasta Bowl as well.
The Pasta Bowl.
Yeah.
Good. And
love that, sorry.
The Spaghetti Hat. Number five, Giant Axe is the wonderfully named home of which Northern English football team?
Oh, Giant Axe.
Yeah.
This
brilliant
is
name.
Because I was immediately going to say Lewes, and I think Lewes play at the Dripping Pan.
The Dripping Pan. That was actually going to be a possible other question, which was what was the Dripping Pan used before? Because it became a sports arena in, or at least a football place in 1885, and the theory is that that monks were panning for salt in there.
Oh, I see.
Because it's next door to the ruins of like a priory.
Oh, I
so,
see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hence the name. Anyway, Giant Axe.
Northern
yes.
team. I'm going to say this with no confidence whatsoever, but I'll just say Blythe Spartans.
Lancaster City.
Oh, yeah. I would not have had that in a million
years.
No,
however, you can have a bonus point. While Googling Giant Axe, I discovered the film Axe Giant, an independent horror film whose subtitle is The Wrath of Who? He's an American and Canadian folk hero who's a 15-foot-tall lumberjack. The plot of the film involves an even gianter, mutated version of him slaughtering teenagers on a campground in the woods.
I'm going to say Jebediah Springfield.
You're wrong. It is Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. Axe Giant, The Wrath of Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
Yes.
Right, so Paul Bunyan. Nothing to me screams Vauxhall confidence 90s midfielder than Paul Bunyan.
Well, if you're...
Paul Bunyan of Havant Waterlooville.
If you're interested, 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Right. Shall we...
Good quiz.
Thank you. Shall we talk about Bohemka?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. Bohemians, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily.
We've had a couple of very good trips to the Dolly Check in the past, haven't we?
We have. Yeah, this promises to be another one.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we've seen a couple of nil-nils. We've definitely seen a 1-0 defeat. We saw a 3-0 defeat where we were awful, and it was about 40 degrees and the fire brigade hosed down the
Yeah, that was fun, actually. That was a good day out. Like, yeah, regardless of results, it's just a decent day out, the Dolly.
Yes, it is good. So, it's a decent season for Bohemians.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they were up to third, fourth at one point, I think.
Yes, they were really quite high. Sixth at the moment.
And then Roman Kvyat got nicked by Viktorka. Yeah. And
well, don't steal all the preview. Yes, sorry. No, exactly that. I mean, the cutting ahead, but this is going to be the big problem that Bohemians have. We actually talked about this on previous podcast, because what seems to happen in Czech football, or at least for a podcast, is that the team that buys a player tends to always be the one that's done the podcast before.
Mm.
So this happened with Slavia. It's happened with Mladá Boleslav as well, actually, at the start of the year again. And this time it is Roman Kvyat, who looked great.
Yeah.
And the question is about whether or not they're going to be able to make up Kvyat's 9 goals.
Yeah, because it did appear that midfield was nothing but flowers.
Yeah, so... pretty bad result against Česká Budějovice at the weekend. A late goal conceded, so that was a loss. But two wins and two losses since the return. That wild 6-2 game against Sparta, which I do recommend watching on the highlights, because it is, especially if you look at the minutes that the goal is scored, it's like every 10 minutes, 5 minutes, it's just a goal. It's really good. And then they beat Teplice. You should. And, you know, a decent Hradec Králové team as well, a team that look quite good and will, I think, possibly be up in that fifth, sixth sort of spot by the end of the season. So this is pretty good for Bohemka, considering the last, you know, they tend to be 8th to 11th in the league. They always start awfully and then sort of claw it back just after a couple of weeks of people going, oh, they're doomed, oh, they're probably going to go down. But they always seem to sort of claw it back. What's changed? I mean, how would you, you know, if I just asked you, how do Bohemians play? How would you say Bohemians play?
Solidly and without any particular inspiration. And that's what's changed.
The word that I often think about is stuffy.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are very, you know, they have very rigid formations. Yeah. They are
absolute 4-4-1-1
stoppers,
job, aren't they? Yeah.
Don't play out from the back. It's always a sort of a counter-attacky sort of thing where they just get in your face. They load up the box. And they're just a lot more open this season. And, you know, and thanks no means by, you know, to Kvyat, have been scoring a lot of goals, but conceding quite a few as well. Yeah. So it has been, and they're a team that didn't always really get thrashed. They always just like lost a goal or two because they're just coming up against a better team, frankly.
I always found it strange because, as you say, for the last sort of 4, 5, 6 seasons, they've been very sort of stodgy, very stolid, which is odd because it sort of goes against how you view them as a club. You know, they're a kind of fun, exciting, freewheeling fan base watching this absolute dreck football, which is odd, but yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest identity club in the Czech league, and I mean that in the sense that a lot of Bohemians fans are quite proud by their association, and not just in football terms. Like they have this idea of a sort of a community being there in Bursa.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they actually have, you know, an admirable amount of international supporters as well. A lot of football fans who move to Prague
choose Bohemka. The kind of less hipstery Sampaoli of Prague, aren't they?
And you will, though, because I mean, I like one of my first ever shirts was a Bohemka shirt because I did my Erasmus in Prague. That's how I got interested in Czech stuff and the reason that I'm here. And I went to the Dolly Chit quite a number of times, and I was in that big stand behind the goal, yeah. where it's standing only, this, you know, and the atmosphere is fantastic. And, and you know, you can definitely feel that. And I think that that's something that does unify people. Just to go back again to, you know, sort of like how they're playing a lot openly, you'll recall our 2-1 defeat at home to them as well. Mm-hmm. That was one that was quite open and back and forth, wasn't it? I thought we were slightly better towards the end of it, but I think they probably deserved to win.
Yeah, I mean, they were bouncing at that point as well, weren't they?
That's it. So basically, the one thing to point out, like we talked about Roman Kvyat, but the other thing is that... Petr Hronek's gone, is his midfield partner, and he's going off to get minimal minutes at Slavia Prague, the same old story. So the question is, how do they rebuild that midfield? That sort of that freewheeling instinctive, you know, sort of football that they have been sort of playing, and people with a touch like Kvyat, you know, quite hard to come by. Do you know what's a really good way of plugging that gap temporarily?
What's that?
Alice Chermak on a 6-month loan.
Lovely stuff.
That feels good. Jan Matoshek on a free from Slavia. He was getting solid minutes for Slovan Liberec last season. One as well that I thought was quite interesting is Martin Jedlička has come on loan for the rest of the season as well. He's also from Pilsen. He is... Jakub Rzeźniczek's half-brother.
Is he?
Yes. So,
there you go.
Yeah, so this is it. Like, obviously, well, he's gone straight into the squad and is going to probably be their number one for the rest of the season, Jedlička. Obviously, he's not needed so much at Pilsen. Obviously, it's going to be, you know, Jindra Staniek is a decent keeper, even though he was a bit wobbly against us. So he hasn't actually had much time at all playing for Victoria. But he was the first choice keeper at Dunajska Streda. So
Danny Wednesday, there, kids.
Which, I mean, it's a lower level than, you know, I think the Czech League, but still something interesting. I think that's a decent window for Bohemians. It should at least get them to the end of the season. If David Puškáč can build on his 5 goals up front, they are still playing a bit of a lone strikery sort of thing. They have a real chance of finishing 6th or possibly going better.
Yeah, I think the championship group is not beyond, you know, is not beyond them. As long as, you know, as long as, well, after this weekend, as long as this little wobble doesn't become a slump, that top 6 is not beyond them by any means.
It's one of these weird ones, though, as well, when you're in that position, because is there really anything to fight for? If you were considering money, actually, you want to finish in the middle group. But because, like, the 3 Europe spots are sewn already. Bohemians aren't getting into Europe. We might. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting game. I'm looking forward to seeing Sven.
Yes. Hi, Sven.
So, looking forward to seeing you there, who's going up on Friday.
Yeah.
Or down, I think. My geography's not great.
well, if he's coming from Leipzig? Germany, then down.
Where's Leipzig? Yeah, looking forward to this. It's been a while since we were at the Dolly Czech. And yeah, feels like the Prague game that I would like to see. So the choice for me was that or Slavia.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go and see Bohemians.
Yeah. All right, let's do a beer of the podcast and then we'll look forward to a bit of Hillo's Lean.
Beer of the Podcast.
Yes, it's that time again where we drink beer and you don't. So, David, it's your turn.
Well, I don't know. You might be drinking beer, listener. You might. We don't know where you're listening. I was going to say where.
Are you buying random people beer over the internet?
I was going to say we don't know where or how you're listening to this. I do know how you're listening to it. It's via your ears.
You buying people pints again?
Well, not in this case. However, it was my turn this week, and I spent 139 shiny Czech crowns on. And you'll like this. This is. How's the bottle here? It is Williams Pear Gosa.
It's a Gosa, baby.
Yeah. Pear Gosa. From Falcon Independent Brewery in Prague, I believe. It says it is a Gosa-style sour ale with pear and cinnamon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Colour me intrigued. Where did you pick
promise,
this?
From Pivni Ordinatsa around the corner. Uh-huh. It's proper falling over water. It's 6.8%. It's a strongy.
That's a strong one for a Gosa.
It is. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes, sir.
This has been a good time to reveal that I was so busy at work, I didn't have lunch today. So this could be fun.
Oh, good. Okay. So here we go. It smells very cinnamony. Very, very apple-y, very cinnamony. Or very peary, very cinnamony.
You know what that smells like? It smells like turbo mosh.
Smells like Copenhagen. If you're to be believed.
Did you mention he's got a Copenhagen?
Fish in a roll, mate.
A lot right. of fish in a roll.
Here we go.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's really
nice.
Oh,
you've done it again. That's great.
That is delicious.
That is not 6.8% or whatever it is. That feels a lot lighter.
It's somewhere... It's not quite a lager. It's not quite a cider. But oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's really nice, isn't it? Cinnamony, peary. It's just got... It's not salty like a Gosa would be, but there's just enough...
I get that hint.
Yeah, but it's not overpowering. It's just enough to give it a little bit of zing. You know, just to bring the flavours of the other two things out. It's like salting your tomato sauce, you know? It just brings it out a little bit more, you know, so...
Nigel Slater over here. It feels a little bit dense, but it's surprisingly refreshing.
That's what people say about me.
That's a cracker. Well done, David. That's really good. That is really good.
Yeah, and like I said, 139 for 750ml.
Again,
it's a sipper, isn't it? That's really good.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to remember it's a sipper because I'm just going to town on that. That's great though. That's really good. Solid choice, and that's us two Gosas in a row.
I know. That's most unlike me, but I saw it and I thought, you know what? We'll give that a go, sir.
Good. The bottle's nice as well. The bottle's
it
good.
Is.
The labelling's decent.
Yeah, it's quite. It
looks
quite
like a wine.
Yeah,
almost.
It looks like a wine or a posh cider. Yeah, that's what kind of initially caught my eye. Yeah. So they get, and it's vegan. It proudly boasts on the side. So there we go. Lovely stuff. Thank you, Williams Pear Gosa.
Yeah,
wherever you may be. Right, we've got one more game to talk about, and it's Cobblers.
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 Zleen, you're a stupid head. We're going to talk about Zleen in about 30 seconds, but it's worth saying that we have a midweek game and it's actually an important one for a change.
Yes, the Mole Cup.
Yes. So,
not a cup for moles, but sponsored by MOL, the fuel company.
Yes. As much as some may scoff, this actually represents... I feel weird even saying it. Actually represents a tangible chance for Zbrojovka Brno to get to Europe.
Yeah.
And we are probably have the best draw of that quarter. Well, the second best draw of that quarter. I think the best one was Vyshkov. Mm. But Dinamo Cheska Budějovice don't look up to snuff despite that victory against Bohemians. It is away, which means that we can't go. And the last time... it was 3-2, wasn't it, to Budějovice, but they looked, as far as I can remember, all sorts of better, was it?
Yes.
So we'll probably put something up on Zbrojovcast Facebook and Twitter with a bit more details for this. But for time reasons, I know we love talking about Diddy teams like Zlín. So we're going to talk about a Diddy team called Zlín. 15th, equal on points with Rock Bottom Pardubice.
Yeah.
But with a significantly better goal difference.
I have a quick question. Is there such a thing as new stadium bounce?
Aha.
like new manager bounce. Part of it sort of got now? New stadium bounce.
This is it.
I did say they might get it, and they've improved slightly, but Zelina are also crap. So
yeah, this is it. It looked like a decent turnout, actually, for two strugglers, actually, at the new stadium.
Mm.
The new stadium, I'll be honest with you, unconvinced about. I think it looks a little bit assembled by Meccano, and I think that the stands are too far away from the pitch, despite there being no running track.
Well, we'll have to go if they stay up this season. But anyways,
yeah.
Lean.
I'll probably go even if they don't. Yeah. But, we predicted way back that this was a team that would likely struggle. I think we possibly talked about this the first episode of the new season about who we thought might not do so well.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that are kind of in and around the bottom, but there's always somebody worse. But at some point they were going to get found out. This looks like the year they might be getting found out.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that shortly, because I think that's a really interesting thought. Because there's no such thing as joint bottom, right? But they're joint bottom. But they are only 3 points, away from Teplice and Jablonec.
Mm.
I mean, they're only 7 points away from us, and I'm thinking that we're having by our standards, quite an okay season.
Good season,
you know? So this is it. I mean, like you said, it's not been a welcome development that they had a bruising, sort of defeat to Pardubice in what some might say a six-pointer. Certainly not me. I don't do cliches. but they have started 2023 pretty well before that. They drew with Banik and Jablonec. They beat Teplice. And those are all, Banik aside, they're the teams around you.
Yeah.
If you're getting points from them, that's pretty good. What's going to be bad from a Zlín perspective is that their upcoming run looks tough. So they've got Sparta, Hradec Králové, ourselves, obviously, over the next few weeks. They're going to have the derby with Slovácko. Slovácko look rubbish this season, but you never know. There are a few green shoots there for sure, and Slovácko aren't going to be near this relegation fight,
I don't think.
What bodes well for Zlín, like you were saying, is that they have been in this position so many times.
Yeah.
They are, they've been in this before, and they always seem to find a way out of it.
Yeah.
And if you remember last season, this was, I believe, what US sports commentators call a clutch performance, because when they got into the bottom group, they were undefeated in all their games. So, and they just hoiked themselves up. The problem with Zlín, and maybe we actually saw this in what was a very good 3-2 Zbrojovka victory,
yeah,
a really good game that we were at, is that they have these moments of brilliance, but other times they're just totally useless.
Mm.
And I was thinking about this, as you do, and actually it's tough being a team specifically in Zlín's position, right? Reasonably remote by sort of Czech standards from like places where there are abundances of pro footballers,
yeah,
like Prague, for example. Any half-decent player who goes through them, and we've seen this already this season, they get snapped up by others for not so much. There was, I forget his name, but he went to Zurich, for example. So it's a team of lots of ins and outs every year. I don't know anything about the newly named Trinity Zlín's finances, but I imagine, their budget is less than ours.
Yeah.
I imagine, this sort of thing. But that being said, only Lamin Jawo's left during this window. Who's joined Mladá Boleslav? So
right,
again,
yeah,
the record of talking about a previous club in an episode. The ins include Libor Kozak on a free transfer.
He doesn't have to move house. He was at Slovácko previously, so
yeah, they didn't want his 2 goals in 18.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems.
Yeah. Aston Villa's finest.
Yeah,
big league, the Kozak, the goat.
This is it. The only other player of note, I would say, I think it's a couple of people that have maybe come in from Europavas or whatever.
Yeah.
There's Filip Balaj, who's a Slovak centre forward, who's on loan from Cracovia in the extra class.
Okay.
Yeah. But he doesn't seem to be getting that many games or minutes for them, doesn't seem to really score.
Mm.
So I don't know what that's going to be about. But I just sort of finished this preview with, will Zlín just swag it out this year? Will they find a way to avoid the draw? It feels to me like, you said, them and Power Debates are the worst teams in this division. I would then add Teplice to that group as well.
You also have to wonder, as you said, like they seem to wander out of trouble more through luck than judgment every year. And as you say, it was a very entertaining game at our place, the 3-2 win for us. You know, a couple of moments of brilliance coupled with a lot of crap. And that seems to be how Zlín operate. Like, yeah. But the question has to be, how long can those occasional moments of brilliance maintain keeping you out of trouble? Is this year going to be the year when they run out of moments of brilliance?
This was, again, something that did cross my mind as well, was that I could see myself talking about Zlín like this on a podcast, let's say, 4 seasons ago or so, and then coming up with the phrase of, if Zlín got relegated, I'm not entirely convinced they'd come back up.
Mm.
If Zlín got relegated. I think that they would come up actually quite easily, because the state, I think, of the second tier in Czech football, there are two what I would call decent teams there in Líšeň and Vyškov, and one that's getting there in Opava. I think they would have a really good chance of getting up because the quality is so bad down in that division.
Yeah, if this had been 4 years ago, they'd have absolutely yeehawed it.
I was thinking exactly the same, but with Příbram. Yeah. So you're right there.
Yeah.
The one, I just want to sort of end on this as well, because I think that, you know, we're talking about crap teams in the bottom and how it's actually quite tight. It did occur to me that if they hadn't have got a couple of really big wins a couple of weeks ago and at the end of the first half of the season, Jablonec would have a real shout of being bottom.
Mm.
Jablonec look in real trouble as well. And I'm actually quite worried for them, because this is supposed to be your stable club of Czech football, right? It's doesn't make that so much money, but saves it, puts it into development, modest sort of investments inside. And this could be a big trouble for a club that's not very well supported if they go down.
Yeah, this is the absolute the absolute Burnley of Czech football here. Like ready to, you know, the diceless Burnley ready to go. So yeah, well,
it's like, because I always associate Jablonec with really good football as well. So it's one of those.
Okay, not the Burnley of Czech football.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Anyway,
I mean, we're winding this up now, but actually, I would be very keen to hear listeners' thoughts on this and how they think that the bottom half of this league is going to pan out.
Mm.
Not just from a league perspective, but also from a Zborovka perspective. Do you see us drifting down into this group? Do you think we're going to kick on? So we do welcome your comments both on the Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Absolutely, yeah. So on that note, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for listening. As always, follow us on the socials if you're that way inclined. And we're going to leave you with a bit of Elvis plus the Attractions.
Elvis Costello plus the Attractions.
Yeah, well.
Elvis plus the Attractions, can you imagine?
No.
Don't be cruel.
Anyway, that's it. Enough jibber jabber from us. So we will speak to you again.
Bye.
detectives. Watching the detectives. Watching the detectives.